Welcome to Surfcast. Thank you for joining me. This is a very special episode. Dr. Kevin Ung is my guest. We'll be in a conversation with Kevin in just a couple of minutes. He recently spoke in a chapel at Lee University, so if you were here and you heard that chapel, you would already know something about Kevin. But let me give you just a couple of pointers that might help us in the conversation today. He is currently the director of the McNair Scholars Program here at Lee University, and he is a graduate of Union University, East Texas Baptist University, and Wheaton College. Kevin has a BS in sports ministry, a MA in intercultural studies, and a doctorate of education in higher ed. Kevin's a great friend and looking forward to this conversation. We'll be right back. And we're back. Kevin, welcome to Surfcast. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
So now, how long have you been at Lee University?
So I've been here for about a year and a half. I started April of 2018.
And you came here to lead the McNair Scholars Program.
That's correct.
Now, this is a global program or just a North American program? Or it's not just a Lee University program, right? This is a nationwide program.
Right. It's within the country, and we are a federally funded grant program.
All right. Give us a quick idea of what this McNair Scholars Program is for those who may have never heard of it.
Sure. So let me give you the bigger picture of it, specifically within the TRIO umbrella. So the McNair program is part of a series of programs, specifically eight programs that exist within the country, and they serve students as young as 10 years old all the way through to their doctoral degree. And the McNair Scholars Program specifically sits on the last rung of that ladder, if you will. So a brief history, Lyndon B. Johnson's War on Poverty in 1964 signed into legislation the Higher Education Act, and that actually occurred on November 8th of 1965. I'll talk about the significance of that date as we move along. And it started with three specific programs: Upward Bound, Educational Talent Search, and Student Support Services, which we also have here on Lee's campus, known as LEAP, the LEAP program. And so the program recruited students that were living at 150% or less of the poverty line designated by the Department of Education, and specifically they recruit first-generation college students. So we have the privilege of serving students at the very last stage of their educational journey. The LEAP program, working in partnership with us, they serve typically freshman students through their senior year, and McNair, the program, serves juniors and seniors towards their aspiration into doctoral degree attainment.
So what's a typical success story of a student who goes through the McNair program? What does that look like?
Yeah, so then we advertise throughout campus, and we go through an application and a selection process in which they share with us, the students, their future aspirations. And so we serve students in two primary ways. One, we help them with academic research within their discipline. So the great part about this is a student comes to us and we don't tell them what to study. They tell us what their interests are within their discipline. And we partnered them with a faculty mentor here on campus to not only cultivate a research plan, but also to execute that plan. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then the other pillar which the program stands on is we help all of our students navigate the graduate school application process, the funding, and just really networking and creating partnerships with these prospective institutions.
Now, this is in any discipline, right? Any major, there's no restrictions there?
That is correct. No restrictions on majors.
So who qualifies for the McNair Scholar Program?
So qualifications are they have to be a first-generation college student, in which the Department of Education defines as neither parents receiving a four-year baccalaureate degree, and they have to be within an income-eligible criteria. So there's a scale that is set for us to reference. Or specifically with McNair, we also recruit students that come from underrepresented groups in graduate education.
So another piece of the puzzle, as I understand it, then is this thing called First Generation Day, right? Is that a national movement?
Yes, it is. So it started about 3 years ago, in which a lot of colleges and a consortium of colleges began to explore the idea of not only highlighting the first generation students that they have on their campus, but also celebrating their journey up to this point at their respective institutions. So in partnership with NASPA, which is the student personnel organization that exists in the country, they are promoting this event nationwide. And as I mentioned earlier, the Higher Education Act was signed on November 8th, 1965. That is the specific date in which these institutions are hosting their First Generation Day. And so everyone has a different variation of it. They find different ways to celebrate it with events, with faculty members getting involved, with administrators, highlighting their journeys if they were a first-generation student. So specifically to us at Lee, we'll have a variety of events, one of which being, we call it the Candy Cab. It's very similar to a Cash Cab. Have you seen the television show?
Yes, nice.
In which we have secured a golf cart here on campus, and we'll have students get on the golf cart, and we'll ask them a series of trivia questions. And every time they get one right, we hand out candy. We don't have enough money to hand out, you know, cash.
So, that's funny.
And then we take them, we drive them from where they are to class, and you know, as the way the game show works, as they get one incorrect, we give them the boot. And they can
now, is this are y'all doing that now, or is this going to take place on Thursday?
So that is actually happening from now through Thursday. Yeah, so you may see a golf cart with our banner going around campus now, picking up students and just
tell them to come to the north end down here, right?
Yeah,
so we get much activity on this side of the campus.
That's
but
right.
That'd be great.
That's right.
So
we have that activity, and then we also have an oversized mural that we had our art department paint it for us. It's a silhouette of a student with a cap and gown and a tassel. And we're allowing our students to engage with the material by having them write words or phrases that would define their journey as a first-generation student. So they may say grit or perseverance or pioneer. So that's also another activity. We have a photo booth with the national hashtag present and things like that.
So what time? Now, this is going to happen on Thursday, November 4th, right?
From 11:30 to 2:30.
Okay, where's it going to be at, mostly set?
Or so it'll be at the Ped Mall.
Okay.
Here on campus. Okay. And then our rain plan, unfortunately, I think there's some rain coming in the forecast. Mm. We'll be in the SMC Breezeway in the event that we do have rain showers.
Okay. Do you know what percentage of students, particularly at Lee University, that reflect? I mean, I'm a first-gen student, right?
Right.
So I'm a first-gen student when I was in high school. I'm sorry, let me say it right. I'm a first-gen student for college. I failed high school and then went on to get my PhD, so it's kind of a fun journey for me, right?
Sure.
But I love first-gen students, right? And we want to help them. So do you have any clue what the percentage is of students that are currently enrolled at Lee that meet that first-gen population?
Yeah, so according to our institutional data, roughly 40% of our students are first-generation. So we feel that being such a significant segment of our population fit in this designation, it's only right that we participate not only in recognizing these students, but also celebrating them on our campus.
Now let's get practical for a minute. I guess let's get vulnerable for a minute and be honest, right? So students that are first gen, there are some challenges that they face, obviously, because they may not have been raised in a home where college was a priority or even an opportunity, right? So what are some challenges that you see first gen students are facing?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the uncertainty of their academic progress. Again, there's no reference point at home or even sometimes within their immediate circle, depending on their upbringing or their community prior to coming here to Lee, in which they can ask those questions and have kind of an insider's perspective on the college journey. Mm-hmm. Right. I was just in a meeting with one of our students, and he referenced his mom saying, hey, you don't come home as often as you used to, right, to visit over the weekends. He lived 2 hours away in Dalton.
Yeah.
And he, you know, is telling his mom, well, you know, my schoolwork's getting harder. I am a senior. I'm having more to do over the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so just that disconnect in which, you know, his mom obviously loves him and wants to see him more, and him having to express the barriers in which is preventing him from being home more often. And so those are some of the challenges, the balance between family expectations and maybe your academic responsibilities. Specifically for McNair, a lot of these students aren't aware of what are the opportunities that lie beyond the four-year degree, right? So a lot of times we feel we're simply presenting the opportunities that are available because they aren't aware of it. There's no one disseminating that information for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one.
So what do students who are not first-gen students need to know in ways in which they can encourage first-gen students to continue on the journey?
Yeah, right. That's a great question. And I wonder if it's maybe the disconnect with students who readily can talk to mom and dad who've gone through college and use them as a reference point to help them navigate the conversation through career decision, choosing your major. And if they're looking at graduate school, if they're looking to work in industry, they can talk with their parents about that. I think it's just the misunderstanding that first-generation students have those same resources. So I'm not sure if that's something that our students from both populations discuss mm-hmm. outside of the classroom or even outside of their residence halls, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ask each other readily, hey, did you know that there's funding opportunities for you to go to grad school? Hey, do you understand that there's funding and a stipend provided for you to do research within your discipline? That's not a common conversation among our 20-year-olds, right?
Right.
And so I think it's just, you know, providing those opportunities in which awareness is built through the campus, but also programming is intentional to mm-hmm. help students make their way through that mm-hmm. decision.
That's good news, man. That's exciting to know that, you sure. know, and I think we're dropping this episode a few days earlier than Thursday so that our campus population would be able to hopefully hear this and get ready for this 11:30 event on Thursday that's going to take place at Lee. All right, let's dig into your life a little bit and let's talk personal. You recently sure. shared in a chapel at Lee University, and you know you talked about your life. But the first question I think I have is why is the McNair Scholar Program so dear to your heart? You know, why is this? I mean, you've got plenty of options. You've got plenty of places you could work, right? This isn't just a step on a rung of a ladder to go to a higher place. This kind of oozes out of you in the, you know, the imagery of this just kind of leaks out of your life. Passion for people who might not have the same momentum as someone else to go to school, right? Sure. Why are you so passionate about this program?
Yeah, I think also for myself personally, being a first-generation college student and really not navigating that journey well. I think going through college, let me step back. Going through high school, my specific educational journey wasn't good preparation for college in the sense that I, you know, had passing grades. I knew that college was the next step simply because my parents encouraged it from an early age. My parents really not finishing their formal education, coming from Cambodia in light of a conflict in the country, pushed onto us this idea of educational attainment so that more opportunities are open. And so I remember finishing high school and thinking, okay, where am I going to apply to go to college and what am I going to study? I literally applied to, you know, the big football school I saw on TV, and I attended the college that gave me the most money. Mm. And I remember navigating unsuccessfully that first 2 years of college and not doing well in classes, not knowing where to find help, not knowing where the resources lied. And so I realized that through that failure in my own life and not seeking the support and advocacy that I needed during those critical years, I wanted to stand in the gap for other students who would come after me to make sure that they knew where they could go to find assistance, where they could go to find guidance. And through that, hopefully we can, you know, celebrate this collective thriving and this collective flourishing of our students as a whole. We should take great pride in the things that our students do. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one avenue in which we can express that.
Good. And one of the values that you hold to is this idea of integration of faith and learning. What do you mean by that? When, you know, what does faith and integration of faith and learning mean, and what does it look like?
Yeah, I would define it as either the marrying or reconciling of ideas that we learn in the classroom, specifically in an academic context, and then how we live our lives within an appropriate Christian framework. So then how do we discuss topics like our human biology? Mm-hmm. How do we approach conversations about the creation of the world, social justice, the importance of diversity, racial reconciliation, right? You can go on and on and on. And the Bible is littered with these ideas, but oftentimes because we may receive an educational training that's apart from biblical foundations, it seems incongruent one another. Mm-hmm. So then how do we reconcile that while not watering down the importance of Scripture, but pertaining to a high level of our educational growth? So how do we marry that, right? And I think at Lee, we do it in a variety of ways. I think one, specifically here at the Leonard Center, it's integration of service, right, mm-hmm. within their journey. I think that's impactful to give students the opportunity to extend their arms and their hands and be the hands and feet of Christ, but also in practice, what does this mean in the social justice theory that I'm learning in the classroom, right? So anytime that we can give our students, in my opinion, an immersive experience that allows them to live out what they're learning in a biblical context, I think it honors the Lord, and two, it helps us to grow personally.
So what are some struggles, Kevin, that you've seen in this idea of integrating a person's, you know, faith and learning relationship?
Yeah, so if I were to say that college is one of the most formative and malleable time in a young person's life, there does come other challenges that aren't readily identifiable, right? When we talk about the growing concern of mental health challenges and the growing rate of depression, right, of isolation, as we continue more into this age of social media, we find our students becoming more and more isolated. You can have 4,000 friends on Facebook and have no plans on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is difficult to reconcile. And so I think a lot of those personal struggles then that our students bring does not omit or dismiss the integration of faith. I think it needs to be included in that, mm-hmm. right? And so I think if we can take the uniqueness and the gifts and talents that each person has, and then look at that from that framework of faith and learning, I think it becomes a valuable tool then.
So let's talk about this other idea that you mentioned, this thing called cultural exploration. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think it's simply put, this meaningful pursuit of the other's cultural practices and customs. You know, I believe that in the kingdom of God, when we look at how God has uniquely and wonderfully crafted each of us, even within the same ethnicity, the same people group, right? But even beyond that, when we look at the diversity of God's kingdom, I think there's something to be said in a meaningful approach to that. I think it's our human nature to be among others that are like us, right? Mm-hmm. We find comfort in likeness, but I do believe that it's important for us to step out of our comfort zone and then build empathy for the stranger. So cultural exploration for me is more as much of a selfish approach, mm-hmm. right? I do this, I can grow and learn, as opposed to now I'm just being more inclusive. I think some people see it as the latter, right, of being inclusive, but I think there's so much we can gain and learn personally from engaging with others that may not share the same story that we have, that are not believers, that don't share the same faith.
What's some practical steps? Let's say we talk, you know, you got a college student here who does have, in fact, 4,000 friends on social media, right, but they don't have any plans on Saturday night. What's some practical ways in which college students, as a matter of fact, all of us, not just college students, because we know we have listeners literally from around the globe and that, you know, meet all types of demographics, but what's some practical ways that we can begin this process,
sure,
of actually getting to know someone different than us?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions of the college environment is when we see specifically like student groups, right? So I'll highlight one here at Lee, the Black Student Union, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a large misconception that is primarily for our Black students,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the case. I think there are areas that raise discussion and conversation that may deal with issues that our Black brothers and sisters deal with, mm-hmm. on a regular basis that they are more interested in discussing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't omit or prevent a person from the majority culture to come in and engage in that.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's going to enrich the conversation to have the other's perspective in the context of Black Student Union.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we also have Latinos here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage students to truly branch out of their comfort zone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to join a group in which you already have 15 friends invested in,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a challenge and a pursuit of personal growth to step out of your comfort zone to look and build a bridge with someone that you may have very little to nothing in common with.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I love, and I can't remember who it is that said this, but I believe God calls us to comfort the afflicted, right, and to afflict the comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can set up a lot of times comfortable havens here on campus, which students can just stay within that pocket, even within our own university. And we're, for the most part, very friendly. Everyone smiles at each other,
mm-hmm.
right? But when we even have these pockets of students that will just stay within those that look just like them.
Sure.
And so my challenge now in a safe context here at Lee, step out, navigate, mm-hmm. build a bridge. And then once you leave this context, you will find that it's going to be more difficult to do so when they're not all within 3 years of you.
Sure.
Right?
And I mean, I agree with you. And I also think I would add, you know, that be it, you know, a majority, be it a minority, whichever the case may be, I think building a bridge takes people from every side to begin to lay a foundation, right?
Sure,
and so
sure.
I think that that regardless of which group you find yourself most comfortable in, right. you know, walk across the room. Bill Hybels wrote a book one time, literally entitled Walk Across the Room. You know, what does it mean to actually step into someone else's territory
right.
and into someone else's life? So, Kevin, man, I really appreciate you coming in today. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap this episode up because it's actually a special delivery episode in promoting this coming Thursday. But we're going to invite you back, and I want to bring some McNair scholars in the studio with you, you know, and have some success conversations and talk about that. But closing words, what do you want students at Lee University are literally, again, I mean, we're 39 countries, I think. You know, we have listenership in 39 countries. And, you know, what do you want people to know from Kevin Ung today as they proceed in their life?
Yeah, that's a great question about Kevin Ung.
Well, not just about you, but from you. What challenge do you want to give our listeners today?
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay. I think the challenge that I would issue is to step out of your comfort zone. I think simply put, you know, be a person that challenges the narrative. I think a lot of times it becomes easy to accept now the things that we see and hear, specifically on social media, on mainstream television. I think if we can build up a solid biblical foundation, right, digging into the Word and saying, what is it that, how does God speak into this area of my life, not only now as a college student, but when I step out of this context and I am serving as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a friend, a neighbor, what is it that I need to cultivate now, what I need to develop now in order to advance God's kingdom even better mm-hmm. when I advance to this next chapter, when I'm given new responsibilities in life beyond my academic commitments. Mm-hmm. I think as far as what I can encourage students, you know, step out and take some risk. I've learned, and you may attest to this as well, most of my most valuable life lessons came from failure.
Sure.
I shared earlier, you know, my journey through college and how it was very unsuccessful, right, mm-hmm. the first 2 years. And on the other side of that, I've seen how that experience has really informed my practice today in dealing with students, because mm-hmm. I can readily identify
sure.
with our scholars and said, I understand what you're going through, because I just lived that, you know, not so many years ago, mm-hmm. right? So,
good stuff, Kevin. Thank you for joining us. We're hoping to see everyone at some point between 11:30 and 1:30, I think 2:30. It is, 2:30 on November 7th, which is a Thursday, here at the Lee University campus. If it's not raining, they'll be on the Ped Mall. If it is raining, they'll be in the breezeway underneath the SMC building, correct? And if you're on campus, you'll know where that's at. Hey, guys, remember, as we tell you often on Surfcast, you're made for more. Think about it. What difference can you make in someone else's life if you simply walked across the room? Have a great day.